We'll begin reading in verse 1 to continue our study, just as a way of reminder. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come out of the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we do pray that you would bless the teaching and preaching of your word this morning. We pray that all those are present this morning would be blessed by the word. We pray that those who are watching through the internet would be encouraged and blessed as well. We pray that those that are lost might be saved and those that are saved might be encouraged to serve you all the days of their lives. We ask for your protections. We ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we began looking at what Paul exhorted young Timothy to do, and that was to first of all give attendance to supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. We defined these terms last week, and we sort of realized that they are very similar with slight nuances. And so I'd just like to take up the next word in this portion of Scripture, the idea of prayers, the making of prayers, or the idea of praying. Prayer is a solemn request to God. It's a supplication or thanksgiving addressed to God to make an earnest or formal petition to God. It's earnestly entreating God. It's a supplication. It's to beseech God. These are all definitions of prayer, and I think all of the words in this first verse would also be included in prayer, that being supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks. And it would be a good idea, I don't know if we're going to be able to do it this morning, just to go through the Bible and just read the various prayers that are presented in the Bible. We have very many men and women that pray in the Bible, and we can actually see how they pray. And that's a very interesting study in itself. But first of all, I'd like to just point out some things, what Jesus said about prayer, and just take a look at a few other verses. There's commands to pray. There's requests to pray. There's reasons to pray. There's hope in prayer and that God does hear prayers, and what a blessing that is. And then some advice that prayers can be, this matter of prayer being a matter of striving. It's actually an effort to pray. Some things come easy, some things don't, and prayer can be actually a thing that you wrestle with and deal with. So look over in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. We're going to notice that Jesus was praying, and it says, and it came to pass that is, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So a lot of lessons in this this particular portion. I just want to point out a few things. Do you remember the command? We'll probably repeat this later on. Pray without ceasing. Do you remember that command? I think this very first portion gives us a hint at what the meaning is. And it says, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that is, his prayer ended. So praying without ceasing, I have understood, it doesn't mean that it's 24 hours you're praying. You can't, you know, you can never sleep. You just have to stay awake all the time. I don't know how you'd ever do that. That prayer can never cease. I think the idea about praying without ceasing is that you don't give up. You continue in it. You don't faint. You don't get discouraged. You continue to the end. You knock until he answers. You seek until you find. And that's the idea of praying without ceasing. That's one of the things that I noticed here. And I noticed also that the disciples, not only of the Lord, but the disciples of John, were taught to pray. That means we need some learning on how to pray. I think sometimes our prayers are without. And then notice what he teaches his disciples in the... Look over in Hebrews in chapter 4, because our text says that Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and men. Not the saints, not the Blessed Virgin, not the priest, not you, not the pastor, not the bishop, but Jesus Christ is the one mediator. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 it says, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. And then it tells us who that high priest is. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank God that we can go to our Father because of Jesus Christ. And we can go to Him boldly, not with fear and trembling in the sense that we have to be afraid of God in that sense. Yes, fear and trembling in the sense that He is a mighty God and a holy God, but in the sense that we can approach unto Him, and we can do so boldly because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Look back in the Psalm chapter 32. There are lots of examples, but I just wanted to bring home this point. And look down at verse 5. He says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. He's talking about the Lord. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee. Pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. The point is that the psalmist realized that he could not only pray unto God, he could make confession unto God, and that God would forgive him. And that would be a type of prayer that all of us ought to pray daily, that God would have mercy upon our sins. Because all of us are sinners. And I understand where our Catholic friends are coming from, because they understand that God is holy and righteous, and many of you were probably once Catholic, Roman Catholic. God is holy and righteous, and we being evil, We being sinners, how can we as sinners come before a holy and righteous God? Certainly we would need a mediator. Up to this point, we're in 100% agreement with our Catholic friends. Yes, we are sinners. Yes, we don't have a right to come to God because God is holy and we've offended Him. Yes, we need a mediator. And up to that point, we are 100% in agreement. However, they offer us multitudes of mediators. You have a mediator for a saint for every day of the year. Their children are born and they're given names of the saint of that particular day. And they're to pray unto that saint and hoping that saint will mediate for them. And also they would say they have the Blessed Virgin, the Mother of God, they would say. And she would beseech as if the angry father coming home and the mother beseeches on the behalf of their children. That is a great illustration for them. However, our God has given us a mediator. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's without sin. And because of Him, we have access to the throne of grace.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
And as we've seen over and over again, Jesus said when you pray our Father.
Amen.
We don't have an example in the Scriptures anywhere that it says, pray in this manner, our Mother which is in heaven. Or our brothers which are in heaven. We find that Jesus taught His disciples to pray unto God. And we can go to God and confess our sins directly to God because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that is the point.
Amen.
Notice it says, everyone that is godly, pray unto thee, the Lord. Praying unto the Lord. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. I probably should read the whole chapter, but I won't, just for brevity's sake. So homework for you, read the whole chapter, please. Beginning at verse 1. For through Him, that is through Christ, for through Christ we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through Christ, not through the saints, not through the priesthood, not through the bishops, not through the Pope, not through the Mother of God, but through Christ we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Look in Romans in chapter 8 and verse 26. I understand. You need help. And you want to get all the help you get, and you figure if I contact all the saints, surely they're going to help me. But notice what he says. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Here it is. We have the Spirit of God working in our prayers, interceding for us, because the Spirit of God knows the will of God.
Amen.
Brethren, if these verses aren't sufficient to show you that the saints are excluded, no need to pray to the saints. In fact, it would be wrong for you to be praying to the saints. It would be a grave error for you to pray to the Blessed Virgin. It would be a grave error for you and I to pray to anybody outside of the Lord Jesus, or outside of God Almighty, through the merits of Jesus Christ and through the intercession of the Spirit of God. In that Trinity that God is, we have the ability to pray. And thank God for that. So many people have been praying to the wrong people. Maybe, I've seen this many times. They said, well, God hasn't answered my prayer. Well, who are you praying to? Well, I'm praying to St. Jude. Maybe you ought to pray to God and God might hear you. So that would be a point. Look over in Luke chapter 20. Not only Jesus teaches disciples how to pray, He gave them advice on how not to pray. And that's a good contrast. Look in Luke chapter 20 and verse 46. He says, beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. Unfortunately, there are leaders, religious leaders, who ought to be our ensamples or examples, who ought to be teaching us how to pray and helping us to pray according to the will of God, that instead of doing that, they make long prayers in order to devour widows' houses. And when they pray, they're not praying that God might hear them. They're praying that you might see them. I think it ought to be obvious that we ought not to be praying those types of prayers. Prayer is not for others to hear. That's not the intent. Now, if others hear in our prayers, well, that's just part of praying sometimes. But it's not, should not be our intent. And here we have people praying with the intent that others might see. Look over in Mark chapter 12 and verse 40. He tells us that this is a pretense. Which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. Because some people pray out of hypocrisy. Some people pray to be seen of men. Some people are looking for the glory of men instead of the glory of God. I don't know if I should tell you this. I probably will. So there was this widow lady who happened to be Roman Catholic and very devout. This was back in the 1800s, and she had lost her husband, and she had gone home after the funeral, and she was just very concerned because Catholics believe an extra place called purgatory, where they're going to suffer for a number of years, and she was really concerned about her husband. And the priest in the homily at the cemetery had said that he wasn't a very faithful man, that it was most likely that he was in purgatory suffering, and that we ought to offer up prayers. And of course, these prayers had a price. And so the priest was willing to offer up these prayers and have a mass on behalf of this poor suffering soul in purgatory. And he was willing to do that for a price. The widow woman became very anguished. She went to the priest and she said, "Father, I'm very concerned about my beloved husband. I'm sure he's suffering in purgatory, as you mentioned. He really wasn't faithful. He didn't faithfully confess his sins. He was not a good Roman Catholic. He just wasn't faithful, and I'm concerned. Would you offer up prayers on his behalf?" And he said, "Sure, I'll take your cow." And so she gives him the cow, and then she came back the next day early in the morning banging on the priest's door. "Father, would you open up to me? Would you pray for my husband?" She said, "Sure, I'll take your horse." Well, long story short, this went on for a number of weeks, and pretty soon the widow woman had nothing else to give. And she's banging on the door, and this priest said to himself, "If I don't do something, she's going to continually bang on my door. She has nothing more to give me. Here's what I'm going to say." So she went out, he went out to the widow woman. He said, "Ma'am, I know that your husband is in purgatory, but you don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of it tonight. Today I'm going to get it done." And she went back home rather pleased, knowing that the priest was going to do something for her husband. And she came the next morning, sure enough, banged on the door. "Father, did you get my husband out of purgatory?" And the priest said, "Ma'am, I went down in the purgatory and I wrestled with the devil himself. And the devil wouldn't give him to me. So I reached in and I grabbed his hair and I pulled him out by his hair." And she screamed and she says, "Oh no, my husband is bald." She got the wrong person. That story was a fairy tale. Those things don't happen except for the fact that priests, religious people, take advantage of widows under the pretense of prayer. Prayers ought to be offered freely. There's no cost to prayers. If you want somebody to pray for you, if they're charging for you, it's not worth it. Find somebody else that'd be willing to pray for you on your behalf. Yeah. Look over in Matthew chapter 6. and verse 5. Jesus says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door," notice, "pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." And then he repeats, "And after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven." So there is an error in thinking that God will hear you just by a matter of repetitions. And I know people that pray, you know, 9 Our Fathers and 41 or 4, I don't remember what the number is, Hail Marys. Well, first of all, you're not to be praying Hail Marys. And if you're going to pray Our Father, that would be a whole lot better than Hail Marys. But the idea that if you repeat this so many times and the number of repetitions is somehow going to influence God, you need to be careful. People make up prayer wheels where they spin it around and they think that this is going to be a prayer every time that spins around and it passes the arrow that God's hearing their prayers. God is not interested in vain repetitions. Now, let's be careful here. That's not to say that you can't repeat something. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he prayed, he repeated something 3 times when he prayed. So there will be sometimes repetitions. I mean, if you're praying for somebody every day, you're going to be repeating their name every day. But there is a difference between repeating something and then vain repetitions. Or the idea and thinking that the amount of times you can repeat something, that's going to have an influence with God. Be careful along those lines. All right, we are commanded to pray. We know, pray without ceasing. Don't give up. Look in Luke chapter 22 and verse 40. Jesus said, "And when he was at that place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation." There's a subject to prayer. We are so easily beset by temptations of life. And we ought to pray that God would deliver us from these things, because we're so prone to fall. James put it this way in chapter 5 and verse 16. He says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." We ought to be praying one for another, because just as you have weaknesses, so does your brother. Just as you confront temptations, so does your brother. And Jesus talked about praying for your enemies even, those that despitefully use you. And what I found in by manner of experience is when you pray for somebody, it's very difficult to keep bitterness in your heart. Now, when you start out praying, maybe there is bitterness. But as you continue to pray, that bitterness seems to dissipate. It seems to disappear when you're praying sincerely. Unless you're praying them hellfire and brimstone type prayers, "God, rain down fire from heaven upon them." Well, maybe then the bitterness would build up. But be careful about that. Jesus said unto some of the disciples, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what manner of spirit you're of. Look at the request. Paul, you're going to find these throughout the epistles. The apostles are asking, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25. Paul says, "Brethren, pray for us." Yeah. And I think we could say the same thing. "Brethren, pray for us." We have prayer meeting around here on Wednesday night. And what happens is, "Brethren, pray for me. Brethren, pray for us. Pray for my family. We need prayer." 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." Pray for us, that our ministry might be effectual. Pray for us that we might have an open door. Pray for us that we might be given an opportunity. Notice the context of these prayers. Notice the idea behind these prayers and what they're asking for. They're not asking for a new limousine. They're not asking for a bigger building. They're asking for spiritual things, and God seems to answer them. Look over in Luke chapter 18. I think we ought to pause here and take a little bit of time in Luke 18. I think this is a key passage about prayer. Notice what he says beginning at verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And this is a tendency amongst all of us probably. When we pray, there is a tendency to give up. The tendency to think, well, we've asked the Lord and He hasn't given it. Well, the will of the Lord be done. And we just sort of give up. If you will notice these types of things, these exhortations the Lord gives, there is this hint that this idea of fainting, that there is a tendency amongst God people to faint when they pray, to cease when they pray, to stop praying because it seems to them or it appears to them to be futile, as if the heavens are brass, and maybe they are. But he says, don't faint, persevere. What else did he say? Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. It implies that it takes faith to continually beseech God. It implies that, yes, there will be this tendency to faint, to give up, but he says, don't do that. Persevere. Keep on asking. Let me give you this example. A widow went to this unjudged judge. Asked, the unjust just realized that if I don't avenge this widow, she's going to weary me. I better do something and get this done. Well, he says, come to God in that way. You got something on your heart? Don't give up. Amen. Pray through. Keep on praying. I remember Janice and I praying for my parents for 27 years. Let me tell you, there were plenty of times I felt like giving up. There were plenty of times I felt like, what's the use? He's too hard-hearted. Plenty of times I just wanted to get up in the, you know, quote-unquote spiritual matter. Well, the will of the Lord be done. You know? Persevere. And you know what happened after 27 years? They got saved. Amen. 27 years of praying, and they got saved. I'm so thankful. The grace of God. And he also spake a prayer in verse 9, a parable, unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, that publican prayed a very short prayer, and God heard. Which proves that you don't need long prayers for God to hear you. Right. You can actually get to the point and tell God exactly what you want. You don't, God already knows what you want. He already knows your heart. He knows what you're looking for. Just enunciate it. You don't have to do it in long, eloquent prayers so that people can see that you're such a prayer warrior. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And also, notice the difference that this Pharisee spent more time exalting himself than he did exalting the Lord. Now, that prayer would have been completely different if he stood there and prayed, God, I thank you that you're a merciful God. I thank you that you had mercy upon me and saved me by your grace. I'm so grateful for your wonderful kindness that you bestowed upon me. That would be a different type of prayer completely. Bragging on the Lord instead of bragging on yourself. And you can see that in your homework when you do it, searching these prayers, you're going to find that when these men of God prayed, that they're exalting the Lord and they were very concerned about the name and the glory of God in their prayers. And they actually, in one sense, argued or wrestled with God, reasoning with God, with God's word. Lord, you promised. Lord, you said. Lord, this is what your word said. You gave this promise unto our fathers, and you said it would be perpetual. We want to see this happen. Boy, that is a type of prayer that we need to learn to pray. Paul said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And there's nothing, if there's anything that this verse would apply to, it would be applied to prayer. Because it's so easy to get discouraged. You're praying for a child, the prodigal. You're praying for a mother, a father. You're praying for a wife or a husband. You're praying for somebody that's beloved to you. And you're not seeing the answer. And it can get very discouraging when you don't see the answer. When week after week, there's no change. So continue to pray. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't cease in praying. Just to end our lesson this morning, a couple things. Prayers can be hindered. The heavens can become brass. So be careful. Notice one thing in 1 Peter chapter 3. Gentlemen, brethren, this is for you, brothers. Verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them, that is your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor. Are you taking notes, Josh? This is, yeah. Not just for you, Josh. There's others here as well, but you're getting ready. Next month, yeah, just a warning. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. Dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So maybe God isn't answering your prayers because you haven't been treating your wife right. There's a thought. Why don't you ponder that for a while? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So doing evil can hinder your prayer. Abusing your wife or neglecting your wife can hinder your prayers. Yeah? Prayers are contingent on your behavior. Yeah? Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. Thank God we can go boldly through the throne of grace by His mercy. But listen, brethren, if you're not treating your wife right, God says, I'm not going to hear you. Yeah? It's like a child going to the father that didn't do his homework and expecting, you know, he's going to hear his request. The dad says, did you do your homework? No. Well, there's your answer. When you get your homework done, yes, I'll take you. Mm-hmm. All right, to close out, Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Did you notice the word strive? I think I mentioned this last week. You know, for some of us, it's easier to preach. Now, it might be very difficult for you to preach, but I find it easy. It might be easy for you to read the Bible. what I found, that prayer, intercession, that where you're praying through, that you're seeking God to get an answer, is a striving. And the best example that I can think of is old Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And he says, the angel of the Lord says to him, "Let me go." And Jacob says, "I'm not letting you go until I get a blessing." Yeah? Now that is the attitude of prayer. We get that type of attitude and we get that type of revival, then I believe we'll see the blessings. But too many times, I am guilty, and I confess it before you, that I give up. I surrender before the time. I gave up too soon. I can't remember that quote. I know it was General Patton that said it, and it was about courage. Courage is nothing more than fear hanging on a little bit longer. Yeah? And answer prayer sometimes is nothing more than just praying a little bit longer. Just praying that extra little step, because it might be right there. You remember Daniel? He said, "I heard your prayer, but I got hindered. It was on its way. It's right there. It's coming. Don't give up. Don't faint. Don't cease. Keep on praying. Pray without ceasing." Yeah? So these are some things that we see in prayer. I do hope you'll do your homework. Look up the phrase. If you have a concordance on your phone or you're able to do it, look up the prayers of. And then look up how Solomon prayed. I think that's over in 1 Kings chapter 8. You can read his prayer. Look up the prayer of Moses and how Moses prayed. And then you ought to model your prayers after that. I don't think it's necessarily wise just to repeat the same words. We get into this manner of vain repetition. But I think these would be great examples that the Lord has given us, and we have it in the Scriptures, on how they prayed, and we could learn to pray by what they taught us and their examples. Amen. All right, let's pray. Let's thank the Lord. Father, we are thankful for the opportunity to come before your throne of grace boldly because of Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is our mediator and our Savior. God, we're so grateful. I pray that you would bless us, teach us to pray, help us to be known as a church of prayer, and Lord, hear and answer our prayers. Bless the preaching of your word this next hour. Bless those that are with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.